Welcome into the game, Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner with you this afternoon. John Kurtz has taken ill today, and it's a good thing because we are just 1 hour removed from a picture of John wrestling in middle school being leaked.
Oh, he would have been roasted. Absolutely roasted.
Absolutely. It is fantastic, isn't it?
Yes.
It is fantastic. I'm really glad that I got to see that today. Totally raised my spirits after how things transpired in Ames, Iowa last night. K-State rallies from 20 points down in the second half to take the lead, but then falls short down the stretch against Iowa State and sees its two-game winning streak come to an end. We'll go around college basketball. We'll talk to K-State beat reporter Kellis Robinette in the second hour of the show. A former K-State Wildcat is reportedly dominating down at the Senior Bowl right now. And three things I did not like from ESPN's broadcast of K-State and Iowa State last night. A lot to come up today on the show. 537-1350, 866-776-1350. If you want to give us a call and voice your opinion on the ball game from last night, K-State falls 70-65 to Iowa State. The Wildcats trailed by as many as 20 points in this ball game. They trailed by 20 with 19 minutes and 16 seconds left to go. From there, K-State was pretty dominant, but once they were able to take a one-point lead, they pretty much went back to how things were in the first half and struggled from that point on. They were unable to get stops, unable to get the ball into the paint with the same regularity, and Iowa State was able to avert disaster by winning that game. K-State falls to 15-5 on the season, 4-4 in Big 12 play. The game that it reminded me of, and of course it is nowhere close in terms of the importance of the game, but the way that things transpired, it actually was a lot like the LaSalle NCAA tournament game from K-State's Big 12 championship season in 2012 and 2013. In that game, LaSalle led by as many as 17 points late in the first half. K-State rallied through the course of the second half, eventually completed that comeback, and then there's still, you know, it's one of those things that you feel like K-State came back too soon because then there's still 4 or 5 minutes left, and you don't really know what to do from there. I think that K-State in this game, and of course we can divide this up in a number of different ways. We can talk about how things got that bad in the first place in the first half, and that's something that probably needs to be mentioned. But talking about the comeback, I think that K-State just ran out of gas at the end. I think that when you are 20 points down and you rally to get back in the game, and in this case take a one-point lead, it takes so much energy to do that that all of a sudden you're left making some of those physical or mental errors down the stretch that you wouldn't have made before because you just didn't really have anything left in the tank. And so for K-State, they needed to do a better job in the first half, particularly on Matt Thomas, who was so good in this game, 25 points, that's a new career high, but he had 20 of those in the first half. K-State actually did a very nice job defending him in the second half. They did a nice job defending overall. Iowa State shot 59% in the first half, only 32% in the second. They made 9 threes in the first, 2 threes in the second. And you can slice that however you want to. And I know that that's how it was, how things were developing with K-State fans last night. If you are a fan of Bruce Weber and the way that things are going with the basketball program right now, you're looking at the second half of that game and saying, look what K-State was able to do. That's some serious fight. That's some serious capability that this team has. They're going to be just fine. If you're on the side that has been skeptical of this coaching staff for a while, you are looking at that game saying, how on earth did the game plan allow Iowa State to have that many open looks from three in the first half? How did we get to this point in the first place, trailing by as many as 18 points in the first half and 20 points in the ballgame? And those are both totally legitimate. I don't think that there's one side of that that's correct or not. I think that you could say that as K-State moves forward now, you can take positives and negatives out of that game. K-State absolutely needs to have more fire under it when it leaves the tunnel in Knoxville coming up this Saturday when they play Tennessee. They have got to get off to a better start. But You can say as well that one thing that K-State could take away from this game that's a positive is that I do believe K-State has the belief that if they fall behind in a game like this, that they have the capability of rallying back. And I'm not sure that that was the case with some of K-State's previous teams. They may have just went ahead and mailed it in and not given it much fight in the second half. I do believe that K-State showed it's different than those teams in that way in how they were able to battle back, even though it was in a losing effort.
ESPN showed a graphic last night of, it said K-State's 20-point deficit in the second half was the biggest they have overcome in school history. I don't know if that's
I didn't see that.
It was right after Barry Brown's layup that took lead, I believe.
Okay, well, that may explain why I hadn't seen it, because as soon as K-State took the lead, I immediately, you know, looked down at my computer and was typing that K-State had taken the lead and sending that.
And luckily for K-State, Iowa State wasted all their good shooting in the first half, because the second half was a completely different story. Matt Campbell wasn't as hot. It seemed like right after
Matt Thomas,
or Matt Campbell,
their football coach.
Yeah, Matt Campbell. Matt Thomas, he wasn't as hot in the second half, and it also seemed like once K-State took the lead, then Iowa State started to turn it on a little bit. They were getting to the hoop. They were making less mistakes as K-State was making that comeback, because Iowa State was getting looks. They just weren't knocking it down. Plus, we have seen K-State lately make some very silly turnovers. Iowa State was doing that same thing, and what K-State did so well was capitalizing on that.
Yeah, they did, and I think that, you know, as you mentioned, Iowa State starting to make those plays down the stretch. I think part of that was Iowa State waking up, but the majority of it was K-State just running out of gas. I think that you only have so much in the tank when you're that far behind, and when you finally get there, you are maybe going to get a little bit complacent. I mean, as you're sitting there when the game is tied or when K-State's up by one, I think it would be natural human nature for K-State to think, all right, we got this. Iowa State has not been able to figure out anything that we've been doing in the second half. We're going to be fine. So maybe you become a little bit more lackadaisical with your passes, with your assignments on defense, things like that. Iowa State certainly did get more open looks down the stretch of that game. And K-State committed some really costly turnovers. Wesley Iwundu had 5 turnovers in this ball game, and that one with about 2.5 minutes left was very costly. Of course, the biggest one, the one that everyone talks about after the game, is Kamau Stokes, as K-State is able to get a steal down 2 in the final minute, and Kamau Stokes just throws it right to an Iowa State player with really no teammates in the vicinity. So there were some major mental lapses, and ones that did remind you of before the last couple of games when K-State had beaten Oklahoma State and beaten West Virginia, back when they were in that stage where they just could not close out really close games, especially on the road.
I felt really bad for Kamau in that situation, because he made the right decision if it were to happen 2 seconds sooner. If he did, I think that would have been a bucket. It would have been a tie ball game, and it's a completely different look at the game, except that throwaway was basically the end of the game. Iowa State would score. I think they got to the free throw line and also scored a layup later on down the road. And, I mean, that was really pretty much all she wrote at that point.
Yeah, it was a painful way to lose. I actually had this debate with someone earlier today, but would you rather lose by 25 or lose by 5, in which you rallied from a 20-point deficit to take the lead and then lost? I can see both sides, because what K-State showed in rallying is that they are a better team than, you know, maybe one that does lose by 25. At least they have that capability of coming back, and K-State's going to remember that. If the Wildcats are down by 10 or 12 points in Knoxville on Saturday or any other game the rest of the season, they are going to remember that they have this capability, and I do think that that's a positive thing. But at the same time, as a fan, there were a lot of K-State fans that turned the game off at halftime. And I can kind of see why. And then you get sucked back in, and at that point you're feeling, you know, pretty emotional about how that game's going to go. Not to mention, Ames has been a really hard place for K-State to win. They always seem to have a chance down the stretch when they go to Ames, and then they fall just short. It's pretty tough to swallow.
Well, even early on in the second half, it didn't really seem like K-State was going to pull off a comeback. it took, what, the 12, 13-minute mark for things to finally get going when K-State went on a 20-3 run. It took a minute to get things going. It really did. And here's one issue I did have. And this has happened too often, and I hate to just to point out one guy and said, sir, you need to do this better. Wesley Owundu has to take care of the basketball better when it's down the stretch. I know he everybody makes a silly turnover here and there. Doesn't matter what point of the game it is. It happens. But we've seen it in these close ball games where Wesley either just makes a horrible pass or he drives and just dumps it out of bounds. He doesn't handle it the whole way to the hoop. It doesn't hurt just to you know, make a nice pass to the wing.
Well, K-State finished last night's game with 12 assists and 12 turnovers, and that's not a good ratio against Iowa State. You can accept a 1-to-1 ratio against maybe a West Virginia, for example, and all the turnovers that they force, but Iowa State is not that good of a defensive team. They really aren't, and I do think that K-State showed that in the second half. I mean, if you're able to get inside the paint on Iowa State, you're going to be able to score. K-State did not make as much of an effort to do that as they should have in the first half. DJ Johnson had only two field goal attempts at halftime of the game, and I thought that that was a big reason that K-State was trailing, because when you are taking longer jump shots, number one, your percentage of making them goes down, and number two, there's a way higher chance that the rebound is going to be a long rebound because it's going to clank off the rim and go a lot further. What does that lead to? Transition opportunities, and that's what Iowa State was able to do. A lot of those three-pointers that they hit were not with 5 seconds left on the shot clock. They were with 25 seconds left on the shot clock. They were getting down there, finding one guy to kick it out to, in a lot of cases Matt Thomas, and he just happened to be absolutely red hot last night.
And I appreciate K-State not trying to live and die from the three, you know, from three all night like they kind of did to begin the game against West Virginia, where that was, they felt like maybe that was their only option. That's all they were doing. I think K-State did a good job of spreading it out, shooting from all over the floor. They were knocking down shots. The three ball wasn't alive as it has been, which, by the way, I mean, do you think that the three-point shooting for K-State is starting to kind of go downhill a little bit?
Well,
I haven't seen numbers that to prove this, but just from what I've seen, it's just not as hot as it was early on.
They're still having some problems with either being ice cold or red hot. I know that against West Virginia, they had another one of those one half cold, one half hot splits where it was like, you know, 20% in the first half and 60% in the second half, and that's a concern. I do think that, I mean, K-State in non-conference play shot like 38% from three-point range, and the natural reaction is that, well, now they're playing Big 12 competition, they're playing teams with better guards, and they're not going to make as many of them. I still think that K-State did have a lot of open looks from three last night that they were not able to knock down. Just for the record, they were 4 of 11 in the ball game. 4 of 11 in the first half, 3 of 12 in the second half, and 7 of 23 in the ball game. That's 30.4%. So, yes, that could have made a difference. Another category that could have made a difference last night, K-State goes 10 for 16 at the free throw line. If they make all their free throws, things could have been a little different. They also had at least one, perhaps two, misses on the front ends of one and ones. Those can be really, really big in a game like this when you're trying to rally from a 20-point deficit. We'll talk much more about this game coming up, and in the second hour I'll talk about the impact as far as K-State's NCAA tournament hopes. It does put a lot of pressure on the Cats, not just this Saturday, but in their next Big 12 game as well. We'll have Kellis Robinette joining us at 5:10. When we come back, you'll be looking live at Around College Basketball here on The Game.